man is always judging by outward appearance, but as God looks at the character of a man or a woman, God is looking at the heart.
When God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint a replacement to King Saul, the prophet was impressed by David's eldest brother. But then God spoke to Samuel and said, "The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." What lesson can we learn from that? Welcome to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The Lord is looking for men and women with godly character who allow the Holy Spirit to change them and bear fruit in their lives. Pastor J.D. will explain more in today's message, Character Building 101.
Well, would you turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13? Acts chapter 13. You know, something I enjoy is reading the brilliant humor of wise men and women of past generations. I'm not one of them yet, thankfully, but sometimes you find a gem or two to hold on to. Sam Ewing started writing when he was, I guess, back in the 1930s. He was just 14 years old, and I really fell in love with his wit. And he had a lot to say about a lot of things, and he had a humorous manner of saying it. And about money, he said, "Inflation is when you pay $15 for the $10 haircut you used to get for $5 when you had hair." I look around the room today, and I know that there's a few of you who can relate. And I'm probably on my way there, so what can I talk about there? He also had some words to say about the "so sure I'm right" person. Is there anyone in here that is a "so sure I'm right" all the time person? Well, here's the words for you. He said, "Nothing is so embarrassing as watching someone do something that you said couldn't be done." Right? Well, after hearing that one, I made up my own. "Nothing is so embarrassing as not being able to do something you said, well, even a baby can do that." And I've said that before, and then you can't do it yourself. About arguing, good old Sam, he said, "Nothing is as frustrating as arguing with someone who knows what they're talking about." Well, he had a lot to say about character and hard work, and there was one that he said I especially like. It says, "Hard work spotlights the character of people. Some turn up their sleeves, some turn up their noses, and some don't turn up at all." We just, by the way, had that happen this past week. Somebody who was supposed to be there to do some work, and they never showed up. But what I want to talk to you this morning about is building godly character. In fact, I've entitled this short little series, Character Building 101. I believe we all would like to improve our godly character. We've been to a few funerals this past spring and summer, over the past year, and something very inspiring about a funeral is when people who have known the deceased so well are able to condense that person's life down to a few moments as they begin to share their memory of what that person was to them. And sometimes people will take sheets of notes because they don't want to forget something. But what is really special is when a person's life can be summarized by a single statement. It becomes their legacy. It's what they will forever be remembered for. King David was one of those men who left an everlasting impression upon the hearts of all who knew him. And there was much that had been written by David and much about David, but probably the most important statement ever made about the character of King David was that was made by God himself when God said in Acts chapter 13, we're going to be looking at it this morning, Acts chapter 13, look down with me at verse 22. Acts 13, 22, "And when he," that's God, "had removed him," speaking of Saul, "he raised up for them David as a king to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all of my will." As God summarized the life of David, those words, "a man after my own heart," were God's summation of the life of David. And wouldn't you love it if God would say, "Yes, yes, that about you, or that about you. He is a man, she is a woman, after my own heart, to do all my will. And what I want to show you this morning is how the believer's character is to be defined by God. So often people repeat the most common phrases about someone after they're gone. They say, well, you know, he was a good man. Oh, he was a kind person. She was a good mother, or he was a good father, or he or she were always kind to people. But character isn't just about how people remember you when you're gone. Character is about what you are when you are alive. And when God spoke these words about David, it was while David was living. And in fact, David was still relatively young when God said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. When God summarized the character of David, he went right to the heart. Now, in our modern day of instant social media, people are so often defined by some outward appearance. Oh, it's the clothes you wear. It could be the house you live in. It could be what you look like physically. It could be the car that you drive. But if you go back and you study the life of David early on, you find God making this statement, man looks on outward appearances. And isn't that true today? Man looks upon the outward appearance, but where does God look? At the heart. God is looking at the heart. And that is the important distinction between God and man. Man is always judging by outward appearance, but as God looks at the character of a man or a woman, God is looking at the heart. Now, in hindsight, we look back at the life of David, and we all know the mistakes that David made. David was far from being perfect. His character had many faults. But then again, Jesus would say, he who has no fault among you, let him cast the first stone. We all have character faults, don't we? We all have issues in our lives that we wish weren't there. We all have things about ourselves that we don't like. Yes, David is remembered for some of his transgression, but what really summarized the character of the man David, as far as God was concerned, is that David was a man who was after the heart of God. David had a heart after God. There are many people here today, and some of you, you've already judged yourselves. You find that easy to do? Judge yourself. There are people who think too much of themselves. Yeah, it's easy to think too good of ourselves, I think. It comes very naturally for some of us, doesn't it? Now, I've always been a fairly good marksman with a gun. Before we got married, I gave a little demonstration to my wife. This is before she was my wife. And, you know, I wanted to show her how I could shoot a coin out of the air. And I had to give her some reason to marry me. So I thought, I'm going to show her what I can do with a six shooter. You got to remember, this was the Wild West down in South Texas. And that was very important. But a couple of days ago, my son Andrew had just purchased a new gun with his graduation money that the family had given him. And it was one of those brand new modern day assault looking things, you know, a rifle. And it had a fancy stand on the front so that you could lay down like a sniper on the ground. You could zoom in with your rifle scope. Andrew really wanted me to try out his new gun. And I told him, I said, well, you know, it takes all the sport out of it. I mean, you got to lay down and you have a scope. You know, I like to stand with open sights, you know, and let it fly, you know. And, you know, that's my way of showing that I can shoot. And Andrew says, no, Dad, this thing's too heavy. You got to lay down and you got to use the scope. Oh, Dad, you got to try it. You got to try it. And so finally I gave in. I said, well, you go ahead. You first, Andrew. So Andrew, he laid down on the ground and we put a can out there about 100 yards. And Andrew took his, you know, sighted in his scope, and, you know, he obliterated that can. And I thought, uh-oh. And he wants me to shoot now. So I said, Andrew, I just can't shoot laying down. I have to stand up. I have to be sportsmanlike about it. So I took his rifle, and the whole time I'm thinking about, well, first of all, what if I miss? My wife is standing here. She's watching. Sarah Grace, our daughter, is watching. Andrew is watching, and the pressure is on. And what if I miss? And so, you know, I took careful aim, and I drew down a few times, and I pulled the trigger, and that bottle of water just jumped off the stump out there, and I went, whew. What was even better, we walked out there. It was a bottle of Ozarka water. And we walked out there our 100 yards, and I'd hit it dead center. And so it was about this far below the R in Ozarka. And I said, "Andrew, your rifle is off." I was aiming for the R. The reason I'm telling you this is I felt so good about myself. My wife was proud. Andrew was proud. Sarah was proud. I was proud. We were all proud. But you know, deep down between, you know, Andrew's at Big Bend, and I can tell you this openly, it was a lucky shot. God knows. But you know, the truth is, we all look for things about ourselves to be proud of and to be happy about. But I think the opposite is true as well. We look for things about ourselves, and we see things within ourselves that we're very disappointed in. And some people live their entire lives around a failure, a mistake that they made, and they believe, "Man, I just blew it. I blew it at this. Maybe it was 15 years ago," and you're always continually thinking about that one mistake that you made in life. Or maybe it's been a series of mistakes. Maybe it's been a pattern of mistakes. And you, in your own mind, you've defined yourself. You've defined your life by those mistakes. But I want to assure you this morning, in Jesus Christ, that's not how God looks at you. That's not how God defines your character. David, that's why he makes such a great example for us, because he was a man of success, but he was also a man of failure. But God wasn't looking at either success or failure in David's life, and he's not looking at success or failure in yours. God judged David's character according to what God saw in the heart of David, because, you see, that's what matters. It was God who said, "I'm not looking at the outward appearance. I'm looking upon the heart." My question to you is this: would you like to be remembered? Would you like to be known as a man or a woman after the heart of God? How many of you would say, "Yes, I would like to be known by that"? I'm not necessarily asking for a hand raise. But in your heart, you know, "Yes, I would like that." Was David born that way? Was David born with some special human heart that God would remember him in such a way? I don't think so. David wasn't born with a special heart. His heart at birth was just like your heart. It's just like my heart. And it was David who wrote, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." He was born just like you were born. He was born like I was born. He was born in sin. Another translation of the Bible says it like this: "For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me." "I was born a sinner," David wrote. "From the moment I was brought into existence through conception, I was a sinner." David was writing about the sin nature that is in his human DNA. It's in our human DNA. The moment there is life. And then if David wasn't born with a special heart that was after the heart of God, then how did it happen? What happened to David? I think the answer is simple. It's what David became. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, there's a few words I would like for you to remember. Actually, they're phrases. There's going to be four phrases, and I may quiz you at the end of the message. So if you're not taking notes, don't look like a dummy. Okay, you have to at least mouth the words or try to look like you really know. But listen carefully, okay? Because I'm going to ask you. Number one, David pursued the heart of God. And I want you to remember that, that phrase. Pursued the heart of God. At the end of verse 22, it says, "A man after my own heart who will do all my will." Psalm 143 is a psalm of David, and in verse 6 we read this: "I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land." Godly character begins by wanting to be with him and wanting to be more like him. We sing about it all the time, don't we? But what does it really mean to really want to be with him and to want to be like him? Well, someone counted about 32 Bible verses that refer to be more like Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:6 is an example. He who says he abides in him ought also himself to walk just as he walked. And that was the desire of David, to be a man like God, to be a godly man. I think it's a great analogy because we all know what it feels like to be thirsty, don't we? We know what it's like to be thirsty. You know, David had a spiritual thirst for the Lord that was just as strong as the natural thirst that you and I would experience if we were out in the desert. Now, Andrew told his grandpa last week that he was going to Big Bend, and his grandpa just laughed and said, "Too hot for me." And if you've ever been to Big Bend, you know he's thirsty right now, isn't he? Because it's hot over there and it's dry. It's a thirsty land, and you better have your water bottle with you. If we are to develop that godly character, we need first of all to have a thirst for God. Do you want to have a thirst for the Lord? Is it your desire to thirst and to long for him? And maybe you think, well, how does that happen? How is it that you have a thirst for the Lord? You know, thirst for him, you're going to pursue him. You won't pursue him if you do not thirst for him. So where does that spiritual thirst come from? Paul, to the Ephesians, he said, do not be drunk with wine. That's that bodily lust. That's the bodily thirst. He said, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was upon David, and the Spirit will actually make you thirsty for the Lord. You see, because that's what the Spirit of God wants to do. He wants to draw you to the Lord. He wants you to hunger after God, to be thirsty for him, to want to be, you know, like this with the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit puts that desire within you. And so when you recognize in your life and you say, I don't have that, it just simply means what you're lacking is that work of the Holy Spirit who would otherwise give you that thirst. You know, he will create that desire for prayer. Have you ever noticed that there are times in your spiritual life where sometimes you feel like praying and sometimes you don't? Have you noticed that there are times when you just long to pray, you desire to pray, you want to be before the Lord in prayer, and you think to yourself, I wish you could always be like this. Do I have any amens? Amen. Yes, sometimes it's like that. But do you also discover at times there's like you feel like spiritually, man, I'm in a desert. I don't feel like praying anymore. I don't feel like going before the Lord. What's wrong with me? And you think, man, what's happened? Well, what's happened is it's between you and the Holy Spirit, and you need to get that right. What about being in the Word of God? Have you ever discovered there are times that you just long to open up the Word of God, and it's like you'll read chapter, you read another chapter, and you read another chapter, and it's like you don't want to stop. Do I have any amens to that? Amen. But do you also know what it's like to go through those seasons? And you go, man, the Bible's getting dusty. Been on the shelf for a long time. In fact, you might even say, where is my Bible? Have you ever had one of those seasons? We have some amens to that? Most of us. Probably all of us. And what's up with that? The Apostle Paul, he wrote, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And it's that filling of the Spirit that gives us the desire, the thirst, and the hunger after the Word of God. And so that's where it begins. Now, number two, we've got another phrase you have to remember. So I hope you're making mental notes. All right. Number two, David was surrendered to the will of God. One of the great character traits that defined David as a man after God's own heart was that he was surrendered to God's plan for his life. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, this is one of the most misunderstood passages in all of the Psalms, and often people will use this passage to argue that God is like a genie. He is at your command. You just delight in God, and whatever you want, God is going to give it to you. That's prosperity doctrine 101. Boy, I love that car. I delight in that car. It's a Maserati. Oh, God, it has my name on it. God, how am I going to get that car? You know, and it's like, okay, you expect God, just give me that car. That is actually a doctrine that is taught within the church, believe it or not. But where did it come from? Well, part of it comes from verses like this, where they are misinterpreted and misunderstood. But did it come from Jesus? Is that what Jesus meant when he said that the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man does not even have a place to lay his head? Did it come from his disciples? Weren't they the ones who said, Lord, we have left all to follow you? Well, is it the doctrine of the early church? If so, then why did Jesus write a special letter of commendation to the church in Revelation? And he said, you know, you're poor in worldly things. Well, if it didn't come from Jesus, and it didn't come from the disciples, if that prosperity doctrine didn't come from the early church, then what does this passage mean? Well, it's a misunderstanding of the word delight. This is not the same Hebrew word used in Psalm 1, talking about delight. It's the Hebrew word anag, and it does not mean pleasure or purpose. It means pliable. Does that surprise you? Well, now, when something's pliable, what does that mean? It's bendable. It's flexible. And that's exactly what this word means. When you desire, it means you're flexible, it means you're pliable, it means you are surrendered to the will of God. Those who are surrendered, they're pliable, they're flexible to the will of God, that he will give you the desires of your heart. Now listen carefully, because if you're surrendered, if you're flexible according to his will, then what is your desire going to be? It's going to be his will, isn't it? You see how that works? And that's why John, writing to the church, he said, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he what? He hears us. It's according to his will and not ours. And that's why Jesus, when he prayed, even he said, not my will, but your will be done. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Why? Because it is in the will of God. David was pliable. David was flexible. He was bendable, and his will was conformed to the will of God, and his desires were synchronized. If you don't mind me using a modern word, they were synchronized with the will of God. David, first of all, what did he do? He pursued the heart of God. Number two, David surrendered to the will of God. There's a third one here. Are you ready? Take your mental notes. Number three, David lived in the grace of God. He lived in the grace of God. You know, godly character isn't about living a perfect life. We all know, we've all read about David's mistakes. And some would ask, and I believe it's a legitimate question, if David was a man after God's own heart, then how could David make the mistakes he's made? I think it's a good question. The answer is in the verse itself. If you go back and you look at Acts 13:22, notice with me, I have found David, the son of Jesse. What is the next two words? Amen. A man. Do you understand the problem there? He's a man. David was a man. He was a man after God's own heart, but yet he's still a man, and that means he was a person of flesh and blood. We can stop there, because therein lies the problem with David, and therein lies our problem too, and our own frustrations. David was a man. He was a man who had the same fleshly passion and human desires as much as any other man, and David lived with a tremendous sense of awareness of the gulf between the perfect nature of God and the depraved heart of a man.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, Character Building 101, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. Or visit our website at calvary.cc.